Right now, speaking about winter, it is time to be joined by Thorin Christendotter from Main Street Magazine, mainstreetmagazine.com, mainstreetmag.com on the web, and also a free pickup throughout the tri-state region in our area. And we say Happy New Year to Thorin. Happy New Year, Thorin.
Happy New Year to you, too.
People said, where's Thorin been for the past couple of weeks? We said, well, he's got to take some time off.
And well, also, yeah.
You know, you got to take some time off.
Well, with the holidays and a little bit of travel, you know, you and I decided, we'll just take a couple of weeks off. But, you know, hey, it's nice to be missed.
It is always nice to be missed, and it's nice to be back. Well, first question I have, the photo on the front.
Yes.
Was that a falling snowflake or a snowflake that fell on something?
That's a good question. I'll have to ask Libby that. I'm not sure if she got it outside or if it had fallen or how she did that.
Because it's really clear. It's really clear if she did it with a phone.
Her camera is fantastic, and I don't know how she does it. But she wasn't 100% happy with it because she was not happy with some of the blurring in it. So we had a big discussion about this.
Well, I still think it's amazing that if she took it, I thought maybe it was a stock picture, you know.
But she took it.
It's close enough to a stock picture. Yeah, there's a little blurring on the bottom, but for taking a picture of a snowflake, it's not an easy thing to do. It really isn't.
No, and I thought, you know, it's kind of, you know, when I first saw it, I thought it was fantastic. And I was like, well, it has to be somewhat blurry because it's such a small thing. You know, the micro photography that she's doing, that it kind of has to be in some areas. So to me, it was like a given, but she wasn't quite 100% happy. But hey, she's the artist, so, you know, we have to go with her instinct, but we still chose it.
All right. We'll go inside the magazine right now. And your first story, this really is a love song.
Yeah. What did you think?
I thought it was pretty cool. I think it's a pretty cool story. Much more involved story than I thought.
Yes.
But then again, That's art of anything. Once you get in, whether it's music, whether it's sculpture, whether it's painting, it's not just present it, you like it or not. There's always the story that goes behind it.
For sure. So Bruce Smith is a drummer, lives somewhere, you know, locally here in our area, more closer to your area than mine. But me too. When CB sent me this, I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, drummer, you know, we've had some musicians in the past, but where it's an audible thing, you know, I always feel like we don't quite do it justice. But I think CB did a wonderful piece telling, you know, his kind of life story and how he got from there to here and what happened along the way.
Years ago, when I started out as a disc jockey, I befriended bands and I used to travel with the bands. And I'll tell you what, it's a good thing I was 18 to 23 because the stories that I could tell but I won't tell about bands and bands that make it. I'm talking about the bands that I was following were regional bands. They weren't national bands, but they were regional bands. They did their own songs and they did some covers. But I'll tell you what, it went along with my job perfectly. And any musician, I give them credit because, you know what, it is not an easy job, and they do get a lot of pleasure out of it, but boy, it's a lot of work.
Oh, I can only imagine.
I want to go to your story. Your story is next, and that is creation through inspiration.
This is our monthly entrepreneur feature, where we this month feature Charlotte Sheridan of Mervyn Farm and Home, that's located right in Millerton, Main Street. And Charlotte's story, interestingly enough, you know, even though she has a shop and has beautiful things, furniture, you know, little gifts and stationery and anything in between, you know, what really took me from talking with Charlotte and knowing about her business and sharing it was her inspiration for it and her creativity and how she pulls that into classes that she does. And, you know, usually she does seasonal things too. So I know she probably has, she's probably working right now to get her Valentine's Day workshop ready, but right before Christmas, she had a couple workshops and it creates these beautiful, sometimes table centerpieces or, you know, all kinds of gifts and other things that, you know, you could either have around your own home or give away. And we've been lucky enough to get some of them, like her for Halloween, her pumpkins that she makes are fantastic.
All right. Now on to the food end of it. And boiled raisin cake. I look at this raisin cake. And if you take the frosting off, when I was a kid, you know what was a big thing? The canned bread from Boston, the Boston canned bread.
I was just thinking of that too. I didn't know it came from Boston, but I was thinking of that canned bread thing. Yeah,
it was terrific. Nowadays people look at it and it's gross, but back then you used to take it out, slice it up, and toast it and everything. And the reason I say that, the consistency of this boiled raisin cake, the cake itself looks a little like the consistency of the canned cake. But let's talk a little bit about this boiled raisin cake.
I gotta admit, full disclaimer, I'm not a big fan of raisins. So, me personally, I'm not that excited about the just for that case. But I've had some, you know, boiled things, mostly from where I'm from in Iceland, we might boil, breads more than cake. So, I know that the consistency you're talking about is usually a little denser and heavier. But, you know, Libby hasn't steered me wrong yet, so I would be willing to try this. And she said it's fantastic. So I highly recommend it just on Libby's word for it. And you know, if she brings me a piece, I would try it. Let's put it that way.
Well, there's a lot of things. You know what's interesting? There's a couple of hamburger joints around the nation that sell nothing but boiled hamburgers.
Right.
And they're extremely successful. Now, I don't know if I could eat a boiled hamburger, but I guess if you put enough cheese and pickles and mustard and stuff on top of it, it's like when Burger King came out with their all vegetable hamburger.
Right.
Well, you put everything else on top of it and with all the sauce, and of course it's going to taste like a hamburger.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, you know what? Let me know what you think about it.
Okay, I will.
Nice picture of a house, but the story is building in the wrong place, what it takes to move a house.
You know, Christine doesn't cease to amaze us. You know, the stories that she comes up with that are real estate related is just amazing. So, and this month she is talking about homes that have been moved or homes that should be moved or what's involved in moving a house. And she references a few houses that have been moved for whatever reason. And she goes into the present day where, you know, some houses, you know, were built closer to a road. But, at the time it made sense. But now it might be advisable to move them. So she talks to some of the experts about, you know, weighing the options of doing that or you know, reasons for moving a house and how that impacts the real estate value of it. And she has quite a few examples here of houses regionally that have been moved and how that's impacted it.
You know, I see a lot of most houses that are moved because they're on property that developers want to develop, and they'll just sell the house for a dollar, and then it costs like $15,000-$20,000 to move the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I would much rather move a house when somebody buys a piece of property, move it to where they really want to put it, and then that also opens up the property for someone to build on where the house was moved. It's almost like a recycling thing. It's not an inexpensive thing to do.
No.
But the technology is so much better nowadays. I mean, I just go back to Millerton when they moved to the center of town.
The schoolhouse.
And when it was first brought up, everybody thought it was a crazy idea. Well, you know what? It worked out perfectly. It's just amazing.
Hey, it took Ralph and his team, I don't know how many years, but they managed to do it. And one of the photos there on the first page of the article is the schoolhouse being moved on the corner of 22 and, what is that, 44?
Yeah, amazing. I remember when Ralph first brought that up, I looked at him and I said, Ralph, you're crazy. This is a lot of work. And you know what? He was dead right. I think it's been a big addition to Millerton.
Oh, for sure.
Final story we'll talk about today is I never do New Year's resolutions because I do resolutions on a weekly basis, it seems.
There you go.
But you've got a great story on 7 ways to achieve your resolution.
I'm not big on resolutions either, just because, you know, I think I have a percentage in there. The fact that how many people, are, you know, kind of let them pass or fail them. So it becomes kind of counterintuitive in a way. So in knowing that people do make a lot of resolutions this time of year or go, you know, with a lot of gusto, I wrote a little thing with, you know, a couple of 7 steps that can help you, you know, just stay with the resolution and in hopes that, you know, people keep the momentum and keep achieving their goals. And so, you know, Like one of them is, you know, be goal specific. That's the first one. So don't have a vague goal, but have a very specific goal and make it achievable. So it's not like, oh, I'm going to lose 50 pounds in the next 2 months. Well, that's, you know, that's a huge challenge. Instead, okay, I'm going to lose 5 pounds and I'm going to do it by doing A, B, and C. So that way, you know, you're being very specific and being, you know, reasonable about it.
And it took me many years to, because I've lost weight and gained weight over the years, but when COVID started two and a half years ago, I decided that I was going to lose weight, but not lose weight, but do a lifestyle change and change the way I eat. And I've now lost over 110 pounds, about 112 pounds in about 19 and a half months. And it's not just... It wasn't a goal to set. It was just a, you know, hey, maybe now it's time for a change. That's the problem when you set a goal. When you reach your goal, you go off it.
Yes.
I reached my goal. Done.
No, you're not done. Now it's, you know, maintaining that. So, and just like you said, it's a lifestyle change. And it doesn't always, you know, the article also references, it doesn't just have to be, you know, fitness or, you know, losing weight, which most people think of New Year's resolutions. And so these methodologies that, you know, the seven steps, they can be a kind of applied to almost anything. And I say almost, you know, with air quotes. But, you know, lots of people make other types of goals, you know, for their life and for the new year. And so, hey, you know, just take a look. And, you know, there are lots of other ways to, you know, other methods to, you know, stick with it. But I encourage everyone to just stick with it and try to make it so that you reach that goal, whatever it may be.
Well, once again, Main Street Magazine, a free pickup throughout the area, and mainstreetmag.com on the web. Thorne, good to hear your voice again, and once again, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Good to hear yours, too, and I'm excited for what we'll do in the new year.
Okay. Take care, Thorne.
All right. Talk to you next week.
All right. Main Street Magazine here on Robin Hood Radio. And once again, a reminder, it's mainstreetmag.com, and pick up at local areas for free.